Okay. Focus him on his merry way, together with his all techeles. Right? And the Medrash now comes and says, Poylech, so what he needed to do was to form basically an assembly of dissenters, right? And he had to convince all these people that what they were doing is they were acting l'shem shamayim. To do whatever is needed in the Mishkan.
Keep operating.
His relatives, who weren't given honor positions among the and say, who decided who's a Kohen and who's a Levi? Moshe Rabbeinu? How the heck did he get this power? Then he walked on to the Bechorim and he said, Moshe told you you could no longer be the ministers in the Beis HaMikdash. How did he get that right? Who gave him the divine right to pick who's here and there? And while he was on a roll, he went to Bnei Reuven. Reuven, as we know, was Yaakov's Bechor. And he said to them, you know, Moshe slighted you. When the Mishkan was being inaugurated, you're the Bechor. You should have brought the forest first Kohen Amidado. You know why? That's his brother-in-law. Aaron, right? Because Aaron married Nachshon's sister. So, the Bechor, so all of the Bechorim.
You're breaking up. I'm going to get off my mute.
So, the initial response from the people were, hey, you know, hang on there. We know Hashem talks to Moshe. And if we had a stake, a bet on we would choose that Moshe only did Hashem's command. To which Korach said, are you nuts? This is impossible. This is Moshe deciding how to play God. He's going to decide who is Kashiv and who's not. You're all great enough to be Kohanim. Remember, he says, there's a pasuk in the Chumash, v'atem tiyu li mamleches goyanim v'goy kadosh. You, all of Klal Yisroel, should be a kingdom of Kohanim to the Rabbona Shalom, the holy people. So, let's look at the logic. If you're going to use Moshe's message that every Bechor lost the ability to serve as a Kohen, what made Aaron, who's the Bechor in Levi, eligible? You know, how does he and any other, let's say, Bechorim amongst the Kohanim have this right? And don't forget, Aaron's the guy who was involved. He threw the gold into the fire. He said, "Let me tell you something," he said. "I'm a better candidate for Kahuna than Aaron. Because while I'm a Bechor, you could say, right, I wasn't involved in making the ego. And Korach adopted the Achashverosh approach. He made a massive
mistake
of how rich he was. And he poured much, much wine. And as they were feasting and shechting korbanos, Eleazar ben Aharon showed up because as a Kohen, he was supposed to get certain parts of every animal. And Korach let him have it. And he said, "You know what you're like? It was a poor widow with two daughters. She had a single field. She wanted to plow it. Moshe said, 'Don't you dare take an ox and donkey together.' When she was about to plant seeds, Moshe said, 'Hey, there's cloyin', be careful. No two seeds in your one little field.' She came and she harvested the grain. Moshe said, 'Hold on, leket shichavateya, the three things you got to leave for the year.' And after she collected, he said, 'Okay, now you've got to bring fruit, mice, or shani.' The lady basically, since she was given away, what Korach said, almost everything or cut, she decided she would sell this little piece of land and buy a sheep. And she got two sheep. And she was going to use their wool for warm clothing, right? And shech the young. When the ewe, the mother, gave birth, Moshe said, 'Aha, the Bechor is mine.' When she took the wool off, Aaron said, 'Reishis hageiz, the first part of the shearing is mine.' And, right? And she said, 'Oh, my Lord, what is this guy doing? How do I get taken for all these things?' She shechs it, and all of a sudden he says, 'Hey, matnois kahuna.' And the lady turns to the kohen, says, 'You're insatiable. If I'm going to make the sacherim.' And the Kohen is thrilled because a cherem goes to him. He says, 'Aaron stole everything from the widow. You see, Aaron and Moshe fixed all the rules that they can have whatever they want.'" And Korach would go on with other such derushes, right, and rile up the crowd. And we're told he riled them up to such a
$300.
Hello?
Can you hear him?
It says that he riled them up to such an extent that he got 250 levium who became zealous for, quote, for equal rights, and he got them to put on his special all-blue tefillah tzitzis, and he said, "We're marching to Moshe Rabbeinu." And it says they came to contend with Moshe Rabbeinu, and it says, usually when something is appropriate and you have an assembly, right, you're doing the right thing, you have some sort of order, right? You don't have people fighting with each other, etc. It says, not this gang. They couldn't get along with each other. It says, Rob Malbum points out, right, that Pirkei Avos tells us, what was the classic argument, Shelo L'shem Shamayim, that was definitely not for the sake of God? Korach hi Adosoi. Korach and his people. Hold on. Where's Moshe's name? The answer is they were fighting amongst themselves. Moshe didn't fight. Moshe tried to appease them. But they ended up being a crowd of rabble rousers. Korach was yelling about the kahuna, demanding it, right? He demanded the reinstitution of the Bechorim as the servants. He got together Dathan v'Aviram from Reuven. Dathan and Aviram were guys who had basically lost. They wanted to stay in Mitzrayim, and Paro forced them out. We learned about that. When they stayed behind, and when Paro came to chase the Jews, in Yom Suf, he brought them with, and basically they were forced to join the Jewish camp. And they weren't happy, because in Egypt, they were well-to-do, and they were respected, and here they were just plain. It says that the 250 men were mostly of Reuven. I thought they were of Levi. Some say they were, in fact, Bechorim. Others say they might have been people who were considered distinguished from the Shvatim. And normally, as with the 12 scouts, spies, you get their name. It says here, the Torah didn't tell us who they were, sparing them from shame. But it says, from the description of the Torah, we understand that some of them were the leaders of the tribe, such as Elitzur ben Shteyur and other such people. He brings a metaphor that a young man from a respectable family became a pickpocket. And he went to work in the bathhouse and was caught by the owner. When the owner of the bathhouse caught him and gave back the item, people said, "Who's the ganav? Who's the ganav?" And all he said was, "He's someone who's tall and agile, and he shouldn't have done it based on his upbringing." But he wouldn't give them the name. The Torah didn't explicitly name the 250. It calls them the Nesiim of the congregation, who have, it says, they were once enumerated by name, which means they could have been the actual Nesiim in some cases. And they were other people who would be considered otherwise responsible, great and wise. And Korach, who had the gift of gab, and he was a great persuader, got them involved in this war. Korach started out, and his main motivation was his own selfish power. And somehow, he sweet-talked people who should not and normally would not have been involved in this type of thing. And it says, Korach led together with Dathan and Aviram, Moshe's archenemies, leading them, brought the 250 men and said to Moshe, "We have a Shiloh. Shiloh, you told us about it. We've got entire begodim of Tcheles. Do these things still require a blue thread?" What was Korach's thought pattern? Should Moshe argue no, he would say, just as an entire garment of Tcheles does not need any tcheles to bring it to the level where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it, so too is every Jew holy. And we don't need our own, we don't need the Kohanim or anyone else to present them. And it says, obviously, this was provocation because he definitely thought there should be an office of Kohen Gadol and he should be it. Alternatively, if Moshe would say that the blue garment requires the Chelech, Korach would ridicule the mitzvah and argue. Moshe said, "I heard from the Kadosh Baruch Hu that any garment, including one of blue, requires the string of the Tcheles." And at that stage, Korach just laughed, right, and said, "What are you talking about? Can't be." And then he said, "The same way this mitzvah, right, is wrong, how many more are wrong?" The Sefer Esh Das quotes the Shlo and says that Korach now showed himself to be a heretic. He was an apikores, he was a min. And he was trying to pass the word that Moshe Rabbeinu acts on his own. The other 250 were not, he says, minim. But they knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Leviim a certain level, right? But they didn't understand how it was that we had this apparent nepotism. And it says, these people, because of the fervor Korach drove them into, actually became zealots. They wanted to become, as we say, closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And, right? They said, right, we're prepared even to give our lives to find out the truth. And it says there's a Medrash Shachar Toy that says Korach was a deliberate Russia. The 250 men were basically inadvertent sinners. The Osnayim Torah, which is a Sefer, I think, forget the name of the Rosh Yeshiva, says that the very sins of the generation of the wilderness attest to its greatness. It says, what are these 250 people such in such a frenzy for? They want the right to get closer to the Rabbanim Shel Olam. They want the right to serve in the Mishkan in that way, right? Be part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Avodah, and they were even willing to give up a Yerusha on Eretz Yisrael because they knew whoever was going to be a Kohen would not inherit land. And then Korach turns to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, okay, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. All we heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Aseres Adigros, the 10 statements. We didn't hear anything about Truma, Meiser, Chal, Tzitzis. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, are so creative and inventive. You came up with additional mitzvos, many of them just to give power and honor to your brother Aaron. He said, let's look at what we've accomplished. What has your leadership done for us? Life is more difficult here in the desert than in Egypt. He says, like I told you that story with a widow, we're constantly shelling out to the Kohanim. And you know what else you did? You brought this great sin on us that we all have to pass away in the desert. 15,000 people will pass away every Tisha B'Av. Anytime there is a distinguished office, you take it. You have the status of Navi and Melech, king. How do you dare to make your brother number two? Who said that you and your brother are the leaders of the Jewish people? It says that Korach and some of his followers were getting so testy and angry, they were going to pick up stones and basically stone Moshe and Aaron. Moshe falls on his face, and when he falls, he shows to the rest of the Jewish people how humble he was and that he really never asked for authority and it wasn't something he looked for. And he said, I did not seek to run the people. My brother didn't ask to be high priest. Aaron didn't get involved, it says. Right? He even, it says, somehow entertained the thought that maybe because he was such an onav, right, and because he was so, I guess, still concerned about his involvement with the Egel, thought maybe someone else should supplant him and take the position. It says, the true greatness of Moshe and Aaron were that they always had extreme trepidation in what they did in fulfilling their mission. And it says, the following occurred. When Moshe anointed Aaron with the Shemen HaMishvah, the anointing oil, Aaron, it says, trembled and went back. Two drops of oil fell from Aaron's forehead into his beard. They were caught there, one on the right, one on the left, glittering like two pearls. Moshe worriedly asked whether he had poured slightly too much oil onto Aaron's forehead, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu would consider that in doing so he had done a sin. You don't take more, you don't misappropriate anything from Kodesh. Aaron was even more concerned, because how could he have shining light from Shemen HaMishcha, right, on his beard? A bas koil, a heavenly voice, came out and said, "You are both free from any blame." The Shemen HaMishcha on our own beard is a Kodesh Baruch Hu's decree. And it says, how good and pleasant is it when brothers dwell together, Shevet Achim Gam Yachad. The good oil on the head running down the beard of Aaron, is like the dew of the Hermon going on the mountains of Har Zion. And there Hashem commanded brachas, life for eternity. It says, when Moshe heard this, he had the same simcha as if a Kadosh Baruch Hu had put the actual drops on his own beard. It says the two drops were there, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show that these two perfect brothers were in the roles HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. Sometimes it says Aaron was worried that his approach to an issue was contradictory to Moshe. The nature was that Aaron was gentle and Moshe was stern. But the fact that the two beads of oil stayed there was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to work together. In other words, there were times they would mesh these two types of service, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. Okay. Alrighty.